You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three of the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Sunday evening. My name again is Dave Hodges. If you're new to the show, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is where we believe in the phrase, the truth shall set you free. In fact, our moniker phrase is, we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And our minds have been enslaved if you let them go to the wrong place. I won't mention any names, but their initials are CNN and others. Anyway, our thanks go out to Ted Brewer. What a great service he provides for everybody, especially me. I'm walking upright today because of Ted. And I know Doug Hagman would say the same thing. And so healthmasters.com, great place to go. Anyway, I've done an interview with Christine Smith, and I think you're going to really enjoy this. And I'm really proud to introduce you to Christine on our show. So, Todd, let's go ahead and roll it. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're brought to you by Numana Foods. Don't get caught short. Make sure you have storable food for yours. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9. Well, on the newsmaker line with me, we have Christine Smith, and she's a first-time guest here on the Common Sense Show, and she caught our attention because of a very interesting article that she wrote about liberals. I've often said, and I'm not the only one to say this, liberalism is a mental illness, but Christine took this to a whole new level and dissected radical liberals from 12 different perspectives. Christine, welcome to the show, and I'm so glad you could join us, and I'm just fascinated by this article that you wrote. I hope it can continue to go viral because everybody needs to read this.
Thank you, Dave. I'm really glad to be with you and your listeners today. And yes, it most certainly has. I think this has probably been, of my political essays recently, the most popular one. I was amazed as soon as I posted it with the number of visits. Within the first hour, there were several hundred, and then it continued to be thousands each day thereafter. And I think it is because it is resonating with readers, because this is what they are seeing in their life, and it clarifies for them exactly what's going on out there in this society.
Yeah, it really does. Well, what really prompted you to expose these liberals for their true nature?
I was prompted to write this because I see rational, intelligent, logical individuals, those who do bring critical thinking to political and social matters, wasting their time, their energy, trying to convince, trying to share facts with what I call radical liberals, as opposed just to liberalism in general, which, you know, we share quite a few differences from those who are conservative or liberty-minded. But the radical liberals, I believe, when I see intelligent persons trying to battle them with facts, when, in my opinion, the traits that I share show such people do not care about the facts, you are going to frustrate yourself. You're going to upset yourself. And I believe it's biblical that we do not, as Jesus said, cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and attack you. And I paraphrase that. And I believe you need to distinguish between those with a different political perspective, regardless of political party, and those who I say are radicalized. There is no independent thought any longer because they don't care about the truth. And truth is my highest priority. And if someone doesn't have that premise, then there is no dialogue, there is no conversation, and those such as myself should know when to, I've shared it, and leave it alone. Don't waste your time fighting them as if there's something to read, when only their false self, their fear-based self, is trying to fight you. They don't care about the facts, so stop and use your time better elsewhere.
Exactly. And a lot of what you're saying falls under the subtitle in your article entitled Radical Liberals Akin to Marxists. And I have to tell you, when I read this, this is a really good psychological and almost, not almost, I think it is, a spiritual analysis of the shortcomings of these particular people. And I'll tell you what it puts me in the mind of. I don't know if you're familiar with Trevor Loudon's work, where he's taken 80 congressmen and senators and said, look, they belong to front groups of the Muslim Brotherhood, the American Communist Party, and they don't have our values in common with us. That's what this puts me in the mind of when I read about how you dissect these personalities. Are you familiar with Trevor Loudon's work, Enemies Within?
No, I am not, but I will certainly look into it. Thank you for sharing that with me. But your notation there, I would have to agree, it is spiritual. And it is akin to Marxism, to Marxists themselves, and I believe that many of those with these knee-jerk reactions, with their anger, with their irrational protest, may not even be aware, in fact I would say the vast majority, are not aware of Marxism and its tenets. However, they are espousing it, but I do think that their leaders who share this through the media, through the educational system, such as they have been, and what has happened to our education and our institutions of higher learning, I think that the Marxism is ingrained in people. It's become entrenched almost in this society, and it is spiritual. We are talking about a battle here between evil and good, darkness and light, and even if they're not aware of it, they are what has been referred to as, quote, useful idiots. And I do not say that as a derogatory term. On the contrary, that is what their leaders look at them and use them. And they think they have good motives to help people when it's really only about a power grab by those leaders.
Exactly. They're using these people much like Hitler used the brown shirts, and they'll be discarded when they're no longer useful. I couldn't.
Most certainly so. And they masquerade as if they're speaking for the oppressed and yeah. Weak people, people who, you know, just don't feel they belong. They jump into this herd, and it is a herd mentality. All independent thought ceases, and they do the will of those leaders, thinking they're doing something good. However, they profess to be good, and they do no good. They are accomplishing nothing but the destruction of the United States and everything that built us, what made us great to begin with. And they are part of trying to accomplish its downfall.
Exactly. Let's go through these 12 traits, because I think the listening audience would love to see the various dimensions of which you've analyzed these personalities. I think you're right on the money. The first principle you talk about is the fact that these liberals reject free speech. And let me tell you, I see this in the social media side, YouTube, Google, Facebook. They're all over free speech in terms of denying it. How do you see this?
Well, I find it quite ironic, whether it's free speech or any of these, that radical liberals claim to, you know, espouse equality, justice, free speech, when every one of their actions show that their core values are the antithesis of it. When it comes to free speech, you or I, anyone like us that simply share a belief or an opinion, whether we are speaking somewhere, whether we are writing it, it is met with this vitriolic attack. They cannot even listen to an opposing viewpoint. This is one of those main traits you can see. They come at it with anger whenever they are confronted with something with which they disagree. Thus, there is no rational thought. I agree with you. When you take a look at what happens upon the internet, much less in our, also in our daily lives, they have no tolerance or sensitivity in actuality for listening, and they do not want to permit others with opposing views. Look at what is happening on college campuses when a conservative speaker comes. So much for free speech when you see them go out and protest, when they turn to violence against mere sharing through words. I look at it, it's all their political correctness, and that is their euphemism for rejecting free speech. They reject freedom itself, Dave.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I think that's a good explanation of the rejection.
And also, I like to add, when they express hatred, they express violence, all in the name of free speech. That's what they claim free speech gives them the right to do. Let us share an idea, and they want it silenced.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, as someone who has a minor in history in my undergraduate days, I found your next principle here to be very interesting. Number two, the rejection of U.S. history. Let's talk about that.
Well, we're seeing so many examples of this in our society, whether it is in the books, because they certainly are book banners, our language itself, trying to change the language itself, taking down of statues and paintings and everything. They are trying, most especially, to reject U.S. history. Everything that built this nation, the steps it took, demonizing, if you will, those that built this country. Agree or disagree upon, you know, the different beliefs, and as people evolved, and that's what our country has done, has evolved, they want to act like that doesn't exist and go right to where they are at now. They also reject the history worldwide. They know very little of it, otherwise they would be concerned about Marxism, socialism, communism creeping into our country. But they want to completely ignore world history and all of the evil communist totalitarian regimes and the millions of deaths. They want to ignore all that. On the contrary, you will actually see them immolating and citing regimes of the past and today as if it is something to be praised. These people do not care about history because it rejects everything that they are proposing now. And also, I believe that they use it as a tool against conservative viewpoints. They cannot acknowledge the good in anyone today or in the past if they find one single opposition to one of their liberal causes. So much for rational thinking and evaluating an individual or a movement on its whole.
That's very well said. Number three, the belief in discrimination in the guise of equality. That sounds very duplicitous. What do you mean by that?
Well, once again, the irony that radical liberals are always talking about equality, and yet, when we look around, Dave, they are the most racist and sexist group in this society. They want to focus upon differences. Love, which is what we should base our life upon, does not look at differences, ever. But they focus upon differences. This is behind their, you know, identity groups. They focus upon themselves, and thus, whether you want to call it, quote, positive discrimination, affirmative action, as long as it favors their self-identified groups that they feel have been victimized, then they completely rationalize and promote unjust discrimination against those of us who do not share their spiritually insane core beliefs. And this is, you know, they say this is to equal the playing field in the job market. It's to stop discrimination in the workplace, but not at all. What it does is it discriminates against those of faith. It discriminates against those who have a differing viewpoint, I would say, in, for example, in regards to sexuality and marriage. These are things that come to the core of us and our heart, and we have a right to discriminate against those who differ. They want to erase that and only discriminate against those that don't share their radical liberal viewpoint.
Yeah, very, very well said on that point. I could not agree with you more. And it's really the equivalent, too, that when they hear something they don't like, they have to run to their safe room. They cannot handle any kind of dissension whatsoever. And if you express a viewpoint they don't agree with, you're being racist. And I'm so tired of that. They find racism in the wallpaper. It's incredible.
They find racism and sexism. You know, the thing is, when you believe in freedom and you believe in love, you respect the right of people to discriminate against you. You do. And I'm talking about equal rights under the law does not mean special rights. And what they really wish to do, and it goes back, as I said, to Marxism, is to discourage achievement, to eliminate competition. Look at what they've done. They don't want anyone to win and have a prize and be recognized. They want to elevate the lowest common denominator and make that the norm rather than focusing on personal achievement. That's, of course, they call that equality, and I call it unjust discrimination.
Yeah, you really bridged over into number four here, Christine. Belief in entitlements.
Yes.
Everyone gets a prize. Everyone gets a prize. Everyone gets a trophy.
Everybody does, yes. And everybody deserves everything for their existence at no cost to themselves, don't they? The individual is rejected because they favor the herd, the communal, and they do not believe in individual responsibility. I mean, look at the absurdities this is coming to, Dave. They apply the word, quote, right to everything they want to have. If they want to have it, they believe other people should give it to them. They should be working. Their taxes should be taken and given to them. Everything from their abortions, which I do consider to be murder, to their birth control pills. Come on, women. Take responsibility for your life. You can pay for your own birth control pills. That's the absurdity of it. Education, health care. You're not entitled to anything just because you were born. You go out there, you should look to your family, you look to whatever your faith, and you do this on your own. Nobody owes you a thing.
You've crossed over into many of these other domains here, because I think that people need to see this isn't a stage theory. This is more of a holistic analysis in which the principles really overlap. Because number five, you've already hit this a little bit. Rejection of natural human sexuality. And you're hitting the responsibility part with sexuality. But also, too, there's a dark side to this, isn't there?
Well, there's a very dark side to it. And yes, I agree with you. They do overlap, although they are distinctive. And the reason I made them distinctive is because I think that each of these are being used in our society to degrade it. And they've gotten quite far over the decades, and particularly in the last 8 years. And when it comes to human sexuality, perversion is being celebrated. And again, I reiterate, I believe in, let's say, just laws for all, but nothing for specialized groups. Right now, they have influenced society, particularly through the media, to celebrate anything but heterosexuality. So it's almost becoming as heterosexuality is being viewed negatively. I believe that one, such as myself, you can be tolerant of others' choices. You can live and let live. Whatever happened to live and let live? That used to be a, quote, liberal approach. At least they claim that. Live and let live. No, that's not good enough. They need to be praised. They need to use the word pride. How absurd is it to be proud of your sexuality? Be who you are and what you are, but not to expect all of society to praise you just because you are different. Frankly, I have to say, I think it is a sign of emotional weakness and deficiency to feel that you need to be praised all the time. Look at these silly awards they're giving to people. What is a man and what is a woman? Well, it doesn't seem like they want to even acknowledge that there are two sexual, we are born. They don't even want to acknowledge that, which is fine. But to expect the rest of society and government with its authoritarian, coercive force to be used for special rights, once again, I reject that. And I just think that we certainly shouldn't be subsidizing it in any manner. Be who you are, but don't expect the rest of society to praise it.
Well, unfortunately, we are subsidizing some of it, because as we go to principle number six, particularly if we're talking about abortion, you labeled this the belief in murder. So clearly you're crossing in to the real dark side of these people and the liberal persuasion.
Exactly, and that is, of course, the worst of it. If they're at first looking for the subsidizing of their sex changes, their hormones, the military, all of that type, but the worst of it is their belief in murder, because radical liberals have no belief in the sanctity of human life. And I'd have to say, you know, you would call it a slippery slope where it's gone very far in this country, and all manner of evil. And I personally believe abortion to be murder. I would think that those who do seek to have legal abortions should be content. It should be adequate for them that it is legal in the United States, but it's not enough. They keep pushing it up unto the point I see us going down the very sad and evil route that has happened, for example, in Belgium and the Netherlands and Switzerland. This is a place where they use euthanasia for the autistic, the mentally ill, the emotionally disturbed, and it is so easy. It's not a matter of money. It's just a matter of paperwork. And they've already accepted abortion. And yes, as you said, and as you and I both discussed, they want that to be paid for by those. Talk about unjust discrimination by those of us who reject it. Again, a complete lack of personal responsibility and obviously no belief in the sanctity of human life. And I believe that has gone far too deep into that evil in this country. And hopefully it stops before we become like some of those countries.
Well, when you are undermining the sanctity of birth, and when you are promoting euthanasia, which is state-sponsored murder, you have to undermine the spiritual values. Point number 7 you have here, vehemently anti-Judeo-Christian God.
And I specify, Dave, the Judeo-Christian God, because I have found it quite odd, ironic, to see radical liberals defending other people's quote God, whatever their personal belief is. But if it's the Judeo-Christian God, they are going to, and again it goes back to free speech, do everything within their power, and they seek more and more power to stop those with a religious faith of living our lives, and again it does overlap, and forcing us to subsidize things that we believe to be morally wrong. They want to impose their way of life, again, in the guise of saying we are trying to impose upon them. Live and let live, Christians will do. The vast majority do. Conservatives do. That's not good enough for radical liberals. They disrespect those of faith. And I'm going to give you one, I think, one of the most egregious examples was the horrific tragedy in Texas and the shooting at the small church. I am talking about what happened on social media after that. The disgusting, vile remarks that people made against the victims solely because they were in church worshiping God. And that shows how spiritually insane radical liberals are. They would rather focus on that. And again, I'm not at all talking about those who are agnostic or even atheists. They are not going out of their way to attack those of us of faith, but radical liberals want to eliminate those with this faith being expressed and being lived, and they do it in the most vile ways.
They really do. And I see this in so many different venues where God is being eradicated. And you know why God has to be eradicated? It's simply because of the fact that they want to bring in their UN religion they call Gaia. And Gaia is the worship of the Mother Earth. It's as pagan as you can get.
Paganism is it's interesting because so many of these offshoots and the different New Age type of beliefs, again, it's like we said earlier, I don't even think that they realize what, when they join these herds, exactly what the end goal is. It's very sad. And I will say this, it's because they want to be, quote, God.
Yes.
They don't want to acknowledge any other spiritual force, and that is why they reject the Judeo-Christian God, the idea that there is anything greater than self. So they want to make themselves the judge of what is right and wrong. They want to deny that there is evil. They believe in relativism and situation ethics versus an actual right and wrong.
That's right. And this is how they can justify flip-flopping every time we turn around. Number eight, you call it the rejection of and thus of lack of respect for private property. And Christine, you may not know this about me, but I got my start in this business. I was a happy college basketball coach and professor, and John McCain and his forces from the Central American Free Trade Agreement were trying to steal my property and that of my neighbors for their Canamex highway system without paying us for it. No just compensation for the eminent domain they were trying to ram down our throat. And that's how I got started in this. I was given a radio show in a nearby community after I'd appeared on it several times, and it just kind of grew. So this struck a special chord with me when you talk about the fact that these people are anti-development, they're anti-business, and they think they own your property and they can tell you how to use your property.
And they are most certainly right now and have been trying to, again, get the coercive hand of a government on their side so that they can take the wealth of those who work and earn. They will want to try, and again, this is straight out of a Marxist playbook. You read the Communist Manifesto, completely rejecting private property. And what you gave is an excellent example. Their goal, whatever it is they wish to use your hard-earned property for, takes precedence. And to do so, I'm not familiar with your situation, but what I just heard, you know, without that compensation, what it amounts to is they will use, quote, good causes, end quote, to protect the environment, to act like the, you know, the redistribution of wealth for the good of all. And this is in a guise of it, advocating. This is also why they are so pro-regulation, because it hinders productivity. This is why they have opposed the idea, you know, they want to lower the level of estate taxes. They reject capitalism at its core. They reject competition. They, and this goes back to what we were talking about, you know, making all the same. They don't have an appreciation of private property. I would also liken it to the border. This is why they don't even want to recognize America as a nation with a border. They don't recognize it in their own lives. They don't want to have the competition. They don't want any of us as an individual or in the production, making our own companies to acquire independent wealth. Again, they're not doing the work, but they want to take the fruits of our labor. And in whatever ways that they can, whether they use the law and the social construct to do so.
Well, you're right. And another way that they're doing this is your principle number nine. They favor heavy taxation in this massive wealth redistribution scheme.
Exactly. And, you know, we're seeing quite an example of that right now. Look at this absurdity going on in regards to the tax reform. And I'm not saying that, you know, there are those who can be for what is being proposed now. This is all going to be changed in amendments. But I'm saying overall, there are those, and we can see it in the Senate, who are fundamentally going to obstruct any type of tax reform. It's not a matter of dialogue, once again. It's a fact that we are opposed to any decrease of taxation. Yes, and of course, again, against wealth, against capitalism, they're going to claim, using their words, that we don't want big business, this is for the wealthy. No, they ignore the facts that show what a benefit it is going to be to the people. But basically, you know, they want to oppose those with what is a healthy work ethic. They're not in favor of lower taxes. They want to tax, and again, this is what Marxism taught, as much heavy taxation as you can. Because why? They want a massive entitlement state,
yes.
Welfare programs, and that is exactly what destroys a nation's economy. We've seen that again and again worldwide. And it also helps them to focus upon their, quote, class struggle. They always want to act like they're struggling, and they don't want anyone to soar above the dorm, getting to what we discussed earlier. But they don't actually care about the economy. They don't care about the American worker, the American family. They actually only care about the political, their social agenda, and heavy taxation is a way to accomplish that.
You're exactly right, and they don't care. We've had 8 years of that kind of liberalism under Barack Obama, and four of that was shared by Hillary Clinton. And what we saw during that time was the number of unemployed Americans and underemployed Americans combined outnumber full-time American workers. They're succeeding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Fortunately, we are certainly on a very good start to turning that around now.
Well, with Donald Trump, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, in other words, we don't like being victims. You and I pride ourselves on our accomplishments, and when we fail, we learn from it and move on. But unfortunately, our liberal counterparts do not, because they love being victims.
Very well said. That is my point, Ken. You will not recognize the radical liberal. They have always been victimized. They will tell you their sob story and all of the details. And unlike those of us, as you just now said, we want to be successful. We want to achieve. We want to provide for ourselves. We want to provide for those that we love. But these people only see oppression. They never see opportunity. They don't believe in creating a life. They want it to be given to them. And because they focus so much on their perceived inequality, it gives the meaning to their lives. Instead of people who want to go out and create their lives, that's where we create our own meaning in our life. When we actually are a victim in some way, whatever situation it takes, we want to learn from that. We want to prevent it. We want to become stronger, and we still wish to achieve. They want to wallow in their weakness. That's what they focus upon. And it's a pervasive victim mentality. And they advocate that. Look at the nonsense, Dave, of this stupid Me Too movement. You want to talk about all the focus upon trauma. And I have to say, that is one movement that shows how much radical liberals have influenced the society. Even women out there who have truly been victimized, they should see this as an insult to it because of all of the aspects that it has taken. I just think that is a perfect example. Women claiming some sort of sexual harassment from 20, 30, 40 years ago, I think that completely detracts from those who are real victims. That's because real victims do want to heal and go on with their life, and they probably won't even mention it to you unless you're really close to them, because it's really none of your business and they don't want to be defined by it. They want to be defined by who they are. Radical liberals, on the contrary, think whatever victim group you can join, give it the most power, put your voice behind it, because they want to blame everybody else for their lack of achievement instead of looking at themselves for their lack of achievement in life.
I almost see it like they want to blame the system so they have an excuse to bring the system down.
Well, they do. They want to blame, quote, the system, turn the system into something that makes them heroes when they're anything but.
Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, and let me say this from a man's perspective. I have a wife I love dearly. You know, I had a loving mother, a loving sister. I'd be outraged beyond belief if I knew they were being harassed by males. And this is not just the Christian part of me. This is the man part of me that loves the women in my life. But
right.
I find that these allegations coming all at once, and as you said, 2, 3, and 4 decades old, I don't find them to be believable. I know about repressed memories, but this is a case of mass repressed memories, and that makes it not believable.
I look at it this way. Whether one's story is true or untrue, it possesses, for me, hearing it, no credibility, and I find it irrelevant, whether it's true or untrue, if you waited decades to share it. Now, I know that there are certain situations where there may be quite a considerable delay before someone shares. However, what we're seeing here, again, is not about, as you said, righteous indignation against wrongdoing. It's about, I'm a weakling, I've been abused, this is the reason for everything bad in my life, and let's use it to, most usually, it's used against men. And as I said, I don't care whether it's true or untrue. If you waited decades to share it, it is irrelevant now.
I totally agree, and I think you lose your credibility when you come forward with these kind of claims. There's a reason why the law imposes statute of limitations except for murder,
This is
exactly what it is. Well, let's go to point.
Dave,
go ahead,
Dave. If I could, since you mentioned that, it's something I've been giving thought to. I have written an essay also about the Me Too nonsense that people will find at my website. And what I have found is, number one, what we said before about free speech. Radical liberals are enraged when you attack one of their popular viral herds like the Me Too movement. I find that very interesting. But regarding statute of limitations, you know, I was looking and researching that recently because of all of this nonsense going on. And frankly, when you take a look at it, it seems to me that I think it's state by state needs to be examined again for perhaps a stricter statute of limitations before a woman can open her mouth and spew whatever story her allegations about anyone, from minor to major. It seems to me that there might be, legislatively, we need to look at it as a society to perhaps make stricter statute of limitations before you can so easily destroy a man's reputation and career simply by you saying something. Decades is far too long to wait to say something. I really empathize with men in this society.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point, kind of an oh, by the way manner, and it's the presumption, the Fifth Amendment presumption of innocent until proven guilty, and people are losing their positions with just the basis on the basis of allegations. No substantive proof, nothing in a court of law, just simple rumor and innuendo and allegations. I mean, this is the ultimate in the Salem witch trials in the modern era.
It most certainly is, and I think it goes to the radical liberal feminism and its spiritual insanity that has taken hold. I certainly agree. If there is an accuser sharing whatever they allege happened, there is also someone who, if they say it's innocent, then that's on an equal basis. And if you don't know anything different, you really have no right, no moral right or justification to make a judgment.
Absolutely. I mean, as a case in point, I loathe Al Franken and what he stands for. But Al Franken is afforded the same presumption of innocence. And I say that statement, and people say, Dave, he's a really bad guy. And I said, hey, if the Constitution doesn't apply to everybody, it applies to nobody. And with Al Franken here, yes, do I think he's guilty? I think he's scum. And my assumption would be yes, but he doesn't deserve to lose position until he's proven guilty. Charlie Rose didn't deserve to be stripped of awards until he was proven guilty. And this is what really bothers me about this whole situation. I actually see this as a smokescreen by the deep state to take attention away from the exposing of their child sex trafficking rings and their other nefarious activities. I think that's where this is coming from. But regardless, we have lost the presumption of innocence before, we're innocent before being proven guilty. I really am troubled by this.
I know, and under the law, we need to maintain that, but anyone that actually cares about what is righteous, even personally, would make sure they don't allow their opinions of persons to be affected by mere allegations.
Yeah, exactly. Well, number 11, and wow, do I ever agree with this, and this brings in free trade agreements, the UN, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Make other nations' goals more important than our own here in America.
Exactly. And there's many examples, as you said. And we've seen this over decades. And they come into the defense of other countries. They will always blame the United States for anything that is going on in other countries. And they, again, going back to about the they don't care about history. They want to reject our history, our heritage, and our tradition. However, they will become, you know, the cheerleaders for anybody else's country and traditions, even to the degree that it's just the opposite. And in our country, they will focus upon that to the detriment of their own country. Frankly, it gets down to what it appears is that love of their own country is fundamentally antithetical to their goal of destroying what this nation was and can be again and is becoming again, because their loyalty isn't with the light and the good that built America. I have seen this manifest not only politically and, as you said, with the United Nations for years, and all of the agreements that were to the downside of the United States, quote, deals that are anything but deals. In fact, our president said it perfectly when he spoke before the United Nations. I think it was one of the most powerful speeches President Trump has given before the UN. I will stand, and I paraphrase, he was talking about, I will stand for America and our goals and what is right for our country, and you, speaking to all the representatives of other nations, should be doing the same and making your country first, just like I make my country first. Radical liberals reject that. On the contrary, because they really do seek the destruction of our country and our government and the Constitution, they want to actually put others' values and, quote, needs above those of our own. I believe they reject the entire idea of the American family, which again, just like I highly recommend, actually it's on my webpage, on my President Trump page, but you can find the speech to the UN President Trump gave, and it is talking about, we will make our country our priority just as you should make yours. These people reject the idea of the American family, and they have accomplished a lot in that politically. Again, that's changing as well, fortunately.
Well, you're right, it is changing, and but these forces are working at their best to derail this change, and they attack you by position. I mean, how many college professors, and I'm in this business, how many college professors lose their positions for simply being conservative and not embracing multi-gender philosophies, as an example?
No, I know. It's really sad. And again, that reverse discrimination, unjust discrimination being used. They're talking about college classes. Karl Marx, I've read, is one of the most assigned economists. I think they usually do it through philosophy, which I think is fine for it to be part. I think anyone that seeks knowledge would be reading any number of Marx's works. But I don't necessarily see the same focus upon those with a more classical liberal approach. And, you know, no wonder it just comes in and they do it through philosophy and not even economics. But a very anti-American agenda. And I think it's disguised by all of their, quote, you know, good reasons, good causes. But that's and it's completely anti-American. It is always putting other nations above our own.
But there's just enough in there to get people's attention to say, maybe this is true. Let me give you an example. When I was a 19-year-old sociology major in my undergrad work, I looked at Karl Marx, and they said, before you can have change, you have to have the development of class consciousness. That made perfect sense to me, and that is a true statement. On the other, you know, as they went further with this, they said, if you want change, then the people have to rise up and take it from their oppressors. Well, I knew a little bit about history at that point in my life, because history was my minor, and I said, well, history shows that that is really true. So they take truisms and then they build their pack of lies upon a truthful foundation to try to take people off point.
Very well stated. Every liar does that. Think about your life on the personal level. You take a kernel of truth and then you manipulate your way into their mind because they can acknowledge a truth, and then you give them all the poison with it.
Exactly. Well, number 12, I have written about this and talked about this ad nauseum, and this really struck a chord with me. And it reads as this. Lastly, and I could have made this one the one and only trait, as it encompasses all the traits of the preceding, they hate President Trump.
Yes. That's why I made it trait 12. It does encompass all of them. President Trump stands for everything that did make America the great country, the nation in light that people for decades looked to, emulated, praised. He really is the epitome of the realization of what we call the American dream. And all of the traits you and I have discussed today, he also exemplifies in the good, I'm talking about the opposite of what they oppose, all of these, because he has achieved. He does believe in competition. He does believe in even in the political realm, those that which help the family, which is really the social institution our country was built upon. They never acknowledge, and this is one of the traits you'll see of a radical liberal, they will never acknowledge one single good thing that President Trump has done that affects them and their family. I find that absolutely incredible, because he has done so much wherever you're out on the political spectrum that will have improved your life, whether you want to measure that economically, the stock market, every single way, even the treatment of our veterans. If there's not something that you can acknowledge, then what that shows to me is you don't care about the truth. You might disagree with, you know, XYZ over here, but there's got to be something that you would acknowledge. And that's the trait of a radical liberal. They will never give credit where credit is due. And again, I go back. I believe it to be a spiritual battle here.
Yes.
Between the good and the light. And Donald Trump is standing for family. He is standing for, work, personal responsibility. He speaks of God, and he speaks of good and evil, and he's not afraid to do so. And that enrages a radical liberal.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've had a couple of conversations with a gentleman named Pastor Romero who's on President Trump's spiritual team, and they meet. They pray together. They talk about the mm-hmm. issues. And Pastor Romero categorizes Donald Trump's faith as being, I'm going to put my own words into it, a baby Christian, but growing at a rapid rate. And I could not agree with what you just said more. He doesn't just defend the family. He defends the right of Christians to exist. He defends the foundations on which this country was founded, which were biblical. And I love the quote you have in here for point number 12. This is absolutely fantastic to have chosen this from John 1:5, where it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And boy, does that ever sum up what we've been talking about?
It most certainly does. Also, I would like to share with you, I know we're talking about 12 traits of radical liberals, but I wrote an essay, also a very popular one, when people visit my website, "Miracle for America, President Donald J. Trump," because in which I completely focus from that scripture onward on the spiritual battle that we are seeing. And yes, the evil, the dark, cannot comprehend it. And President Trump, what is most important to me is that he not only speaks for these values, but most importantly, he's taking the actions which protect those of faith, and he is putting into action for our country morally sound, ethically sound actions that are going to affect us all and protect us all. Really, what he's doing will help everyone, whether they want to acknowledge it, whether, as the scripture says, they can comprehend it. But if they're too far in the dark, my advice to your listeners is, if you see these type of traits, do not spend your time trying to win an argument. Leave them. Kick that dust from your feet, as is said in the Bible, and proceed to share your light and let your light shine for those with ears that are made for hearing and with eyes for seeing who do care about the truth. Because we may have different political perceptions at any point in our life as we evolve, but those who seek the truth do not have knee-jerk, vitriolic reactions. That is a sign they are in the darkness and they're too far gone for you to spend much of your time on them.
I could not agree with you more. You hope they wake up and catch up, but we have a mission to accomplish. Christine, we're almost out of time here, and I wanted to share with my listening audience how they can follow your very, very good work. Tell people how they can. I know you have the website christinesmith.us, and Christine spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, christinesmith.us. Are there any other ways that people can follow you?
Oh, most certainly. Once you visit christinesmith.us, you can find my essays both on my Trump page as well as go directly to my blog. And from any of my essays, I welcome new followers on Facebook and Twitter. Happy to interact. And I invite those to read my work and to join my Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, Dave.
This is awesome. And I'll tell you, you're so refreshing, so pragmatic in your approach. And I'm glad we got people like you on our side to express these values.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for your good work. And I encourage all of us to let our light shine.
Christine Smith, ladies and gentlemen, follow her good work. It's her first time on the Common Sense Show, but I'm certain as she produces new articles, it will not be her last time here. Christine, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Wow. How do you like her? Was that awesome or was that awesome? And the article is just tremendous. And her website, again, in case you missed it, was christinesmith.us. And I got to tell you, I had so much fun doing that interview. And I mean fun and kind of a, wow, this is really on point. And, boy, and I looked at some other things on her website. Just tremendous, tremendous stuff. Well, I want to thank our guest tonight. Again, my good friend, Dr. Ted Brower at Health Masters. Also, you know, I'll tell you, why anyone would ever go to their doctor before Dr. Ted, I really have no idea. And I say this all the time. Matt Lewis for opening our eyes up to the changing world of economics and what's happening and how really the bad guys are really kind of on the potential, maybe being able to enslave us more completely than they already do. And, of course, Christine Smith. We're brought to you by, and thank our sponsors for tonight, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Give Steve a call at 406-586-4842, converting soon-to-be worthless cash into gold. ReadyMadeResources.com, all your prepping needs. My good friend Bob Griswold will guide you through the process. Numana, you're going to need food. Everybody should have storable food. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9. And I have to tell you guys, we're in a real tough time right now. Really tough time. I'm getting reports, and I wish I could have developed this more tonight, but I'm still working on the gathering. I'm getting reports of extreme mobilization across the country and even outside the country. And maybe it's a big drill. Maybe it's what we think or fear it will be. Additionally, the release of the Bundys opened up a whole bunch of stuff, and I've been publishing that on the Common Sense Show all week. I have a crowning piece tomorrow, and I really encourage you to go up to the website and check it out, because I'm going to talk about how this Judge Navarro, Harry Reid, Hillary Clinton and company have basically compromised this country to where we could be overrun. And if we're ever invaded Red Dawn style, they have helped the fifth column inside this country. Absolutely terrible. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed the show tonight. We will be back here again next week. We encourage all of you to go out and have a great week. God's in charge if we let him. We'll see you next week.